A New Look at God's Law. Chapter 3. The Third of God's Ten Commandments. Learning to be genuine through and through. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Exodus 20:7. We are exploring a significant discovery about the gospel. The idea that God's famous Ten Commandments are in reality ten assurances of salvation. Learning how to be genuine through and through is great good news. For hundreds of years, people have thought of the Ten Commandments as ten prohibitions, stern warnings not to do what we naturally feel like doing. Ten don'ts, said in hard, menacing stone. As most people usually read them or hear them preached, they come across as discouraging. But now, with this discovery that there are assurances of salvation in them, people worldwide are waking up to realize that God has some great good news for us in the Ten Commandments. We found that the first one that says, "You shall have no other gods before me," is an assurance of deliverance from the painful imprisonment of self-seeking. The worship of self is a false god that hides from our view the true one. The endless round of futility that comes with that illusion is ended. Welcome to the glorious new life that is free from worry about whether you are measuring up or not. The first commandment is an assurance of deliverance from painful self-centeredness, a guarantee that the Lord will reveal himself to us so clearly that our hearts cannot become infatuated with any other counterfeit. The world is filled with enticements that promise us happiness, but they leave us empty and forlorn. Some of them are money, cars, houses, sports, illicit sex, what we call fun. But anything man-made can never satisfy the deep longings of the human heart. Finding that Christ is what your heart has always been yearning for, and that he gives himself to you, this is the new assurance that the first commandment gives us. In its light, nothing false will ever deceive us again. We found that the second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them," is an assurance of deliverance from another prison house, the prison of wearing ourselves out trying to satisfy our endless craving to have more things to impress other people. Nothing that human beings or factories can make is worth our hard devotion. When we understand the true spiritual riches that are in the gospel, these things that money can buy seem like plastic toys in comparison. The world is constantly irritating us with inducements to buy this or that thing, telling us that we can't be happy without it. Often this incessant pressure is so serious that it breaks down our health. Idol worship is lethal. Ask Bill Gates if his billions really make him happy. If he's honest, he'll tell you, like Solomon of old, "All is vanity." Did you ever stand on a sidewalk and look up at the street light? And then look beyond into the brilliant clarity of a star's light? The things of earth grow strangely dim. But once we have seen the face of Jesus, and in these chapters we are looking at his face in the Ten Commandments, the third commandment is the promise of happiness deep within our hearts, so deep that nothing can fool us into thinking it is more valuable to us. It reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Exodus 20:7. Not only does it speak of saying a wrong word with our lips, but it goes down deeper within. It says, don't pretend to be a follower of God when in your soul you know you aren't. Don't make or even let people think of you as a great person when you know it's a lie. God has put into this commandment an assurance that he will give you authenticity of character. No deceptive veneer on the outside with cheapness underneath. No paint covering up flaws within. East African furniture may be simple in design, but it is solid through and through. No veneer to fool you when you look at it in the showroom. Many new cars have burled walnut or rosewood trim inside that is mere plastic painted over to look like expensive wood. It makes you think you're riding in a luxury car, but costs the factory only a few pennies. But cars aren't the important thing. We're talking about the kind of character God wants to see in us. If you become a billionaire, but in the end realize that your character is only a plastic imitation, you can't be happy. So, in order to save us from that embarrassment now and in the end, the dear Lord has given us this third commandment in assurance that if we will believe his good news gospel, he will guarantee to make us into a wonderful character of truth, uprightness, and purity. We will become a beacon of light in a dark world, a refuge where people will come for rescue out of the storm. Nothing can bring you such happiness as to know that both God and man honor you for being genuine through and through. The world has been through the Stone Age and the Bronze Age, but now we are in the Plastic Age. Stone and bronze can endure the test of fire, but plastic cannot. The Apostle Paul speaks of the final test of character all of us must meet. He likens character building to building a house. There is a foundation already built. The good news about Jesus reveals him to be that foundation. God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation. He has already built a foundation for eternal life for every human being, demonstrated that he has fought our battle, conquered, condemned sin in our sinful flesh. He has already done the hard work by laying the foundation for a gorgeous palace character for each one of us. It's a beautiful illustration of good news. Everybody has to have a house to live in. We come into the world without one, just like we come into the world naked. We don't know how to build the character/house we need. Jesus came to teach us the art of building a character/house. Yes, he came to save us, and he has saved us. We are alive. But in the judgment day, we will be terribly embarrassed if we have done nothing with the salvation he has already given us. Therefore, Jesus came to live among us, to take our flesh upon himself, to live life as we must live it, to demonstrate before us a perfect character. We could never be happy in heaven unless we develop the self-denying character like his that says more than professing to be his followers. The close test of the final judgment must demonstrate that we are such in truth. This is what Paul means by building a house. So great is the love of Jesus for us each one individually and personally that Paul says he has already built the foundation of such a house for us. Now, day by day, we are building on it. The very fact that we are alive shows something is happening. Architects will tell you that a sizable part of the expense of building any good house is the cost of the foundation. The question now is, what kind of a house are we building on it day by day? Let's permit Paul to tell us what he means. Each one must be careful how he builds. Some will use gold or silver or precious stones in building on the foundation. Others will use wood or grass or straw. And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For on that day fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, then he will lose it. Now we begin to see what kind of good news the third commandment brings us. It's an assurance that if we believe God's gospel, he will see to it that we build a house that will endure the fire. Suppose you are homeless. Someone has built a foundation of a house for you, ready-made. So for the sake of illustration, let's assume you are lazy, and you gather some twigs and build yourself a grass hut on that beautiful, strong stone foundation. Then one day a forest fire sweeps through and your house goes up in smoke. But your neighbor built with stone, and when it's all over he still has his house. Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Especially if you had been showing your friends through your nice house, proud of your architectural skill? The grass was cheaper and easier to find than stone. You had only what appeared to be a fine house, nicely thatched with mere grass. Even pastors, priests, and preachers need to hear this message. Fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. But people's opinions about us are not what matters in that judgment day. Have we professed the name of Christ in vain? The good news in the third commandment tells us that he will save us from making that false profession. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Believe the truth of the gospel, and you will find that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. Day by day, the Holy Spirit will motivate you to lay stone on stone. You may not be conscious of any progress, but the most delicious joy will be to discover at last that the house the Lord has enabled you to build is a magnificent palace that fire cannot destroy. Paul describes that although all of us are by nature strangers and foreigners, now we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This takes us a step further. Not only are we building a character/house, what we are building in the end will turn out to be a temple for the Lord to dwell in for eternity. The assurance in the third commandment is therefore of a deliverance from fear of that final judgment day of fire. In everyone's heart, that fear lies just below the surface. It can poison all the springs of joy. There's a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that no one can evade. It's there, even sometimes when we wake up at 3 in the morning. Now the third commandment delivers from that fear. It means, you will not be ashamed in the judgment day. Precious good news. Here's another illustration God uses to help us understand. Getting some clothes to cover our nakedness. Almost everybody has dreamed of being in a crowd of people without proper clothing. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The third commandment becomes an assurance. God will give you clothes to wear. It's through believing the good news of the great preamble of the Ten Commandments that we put the clothes on. By grace you have been saved through faith. Putting on the free wardrobe is our job. Building the house on the ready-made free foundation is our job. But even the faith through which we build is the gift of God. God's great third commandment contains a warning that we dare not disregard. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. His name is holy, no matter how many times in ignorance your lips have taken it in vain. When you see what happened on the cross, how the Son of God took your place, died your second death, endured the hiding of his Father's face, then something begins to happen in your hard heart. It is melted. Tears come into your eyes. Never again will you want to take that holy name upon your lips in anger or in jest. Now you have begun to get acquainted with the one whose name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now your lips, your speech are different. Like the disciples who had spent time with Jesus, the crowd understood they were different. The people said, the way you speak gives you away. The proud person becomes humble. The profligate becomes pure. The filthy language becomes clean. This is Jesus saving us from sin now. One day soon the process of building will come to an end. A decree will go forth from heaven concerning every human being on earth. Stop right now. This is it. What you have built, that's it for eternity. On the very last page of the Bible we read about that day. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every one according to his work. But the same good news that permeates the Ten Commandments comes through again on that last page of the Bible. God has only happiness prepared for you. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Those blessed words are not from this poor author. Those words of welcome are God's words to you personally. Make your choice just now and say, I come. God has promised in the third commandment that he will hold you guiltless forever. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned, whom the Lord does not accuse of doing wrong.